Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another great week, another great episode. Today, I'm so excited because we have Movado's Marco Grinberg, who is the president of the Movado brand and senior VP of e-commerce. How amazing is that? She's doing it all. She's so funny. We have a great time. We talk about our favorite accessories to like how the legacy brand has kept itself fresh all these years and what they have coming down the pipeline because they're up to some incredible things. So let's get into today's episode with Marco. And Marco, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm so excited to be here.
Yes. Before we get started, I'm curious, what have you been listening to? What's on your rotation?
Music or podcast?
Music, podcast, or whichever.
Okay. I don't like listen. I'm not cool. So I don't like listening to anything that's super like intellectual or something. But I'll be honest, I've recently got, this is like, I'm 500 years behind. But I've recently gotten into Call Her Daddy. So I've been listening to Alex.
Oh my gosh, yes.
If you're listening, Alex, befriend me. I can't do a podcast quite like you. I also have started listening to the new Justin Timberlake music because I really want to go to the concert.
Yes.
And that's, you know, really about it.
Are you an Arianator, Ariana Grande, Kacey Musgraves, Taylor Swift?
I really like them all.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's A-D-W-E-E-K, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Really, like, I like all music. I'm tone deaf. I can't sing for the life of me. So I just sing to myself in the car when no one's listening. I will say, like, as a lot of girls my age, like, I love Taylor Swift. I really want to go to the concert. I'm figuring out how I can, like, sneak my way into Miami because I haven't gone and I feel like I'll really regret not going.
No, you have to go. I went here in New York and it was the best day of my life. Nothing will ever compare.
Okay, so that's what I've just decided. I have to go. I'll regret it for the rest of my life.
You really will. Like, I'm not
even
kidding.
I almost, like, have these, like, visions of, like, having a daughter one day and her being like, you didn't go to that Taylor Swift concert. And I'll be like,
no, this is like, I feel like right now it is like, that is like peak of concert isms, like that and Beyonce, whenever she does acting renaissance, those two are the tours like you need
to
be at.
I also regret not going to Beyonce and I don't want the same thing to happen. And the next time Beyonce performs, I'm getting a ticket.
Like, you have to go. Like, I don't want to stress it, but also I feel like Justin Bieber's going to do his Eras tour next. I feel like coming and like,
it's all the music I like loved growing up with.
Like, life changing. It's like Jonas Brothers. It was life changing when they did the tour last summer. Life changing. Had to be there. You have to go.
I'm getting tickets. I'm going.
If you get to Miami, let me know and I'll come with you. Bye.
Okay, let's go. Done. We're going.
Okay. Now moving into more of like our realm of what we're here for. What were some of your favorite accessories growing up? Like, aside from like watches, obviously, but like, what were some ways you loved to accessorize and express yourself growing up?
I am a full blown accessories girl. I love jewelry. I love handbags and I love shoes. And it would be really, really, rude of you if you're going to make me pick a favorite between all three. Like, I literally think back to like being in fourth grade and there was this Diesel school like crossbody bag that like I begged my parents for my birthday. Like, I have such vivid memories of like always wanting some accessory. And I love fashion and I love clothes, but I've always been an accessories girl. Like, I like to dress pretty simply and then put on a great pair of shoes or a great handbag, you know, great jewelry and wear a white t-shirt every day. Like, that's how I like to get dressed.
Wait, were you an Uggs girly or no?
I was such an Uggs. Like, when those first came out, it was all I wanted. You would I have this aunt who can like, at the time was like able to hunt down anything. I don't know how she got like one pair from Australia, tall Uggs. I had to have them. And now it's so funny because first of all, I still love Uggs. They're really comfortable. And like when I'm wearing sweatpants, I'm throwing on a pair of Uggs. But what I will say is I remember like dying for them and now it's like so easy to get them.
No, that was like, I will never forget when Miley Cyrus wore like hers, like when it was like the Camp Rock, that era, they were all wearing Uggs in like this one like paparazzi picture. And I was like, you guys, this is like peak pop like culture moment right now. Like, she had a gray pair on, Selena Gomez had on like a black pair. Like, it was just peak. I was like, you guys, this is a revolution that we're witnessing right now.
I always like would follow those kind of trends and would really want to get in on like what was the new coolest thing. And I still do to this day. Like, I don't think I follow like trends as much and I'm more, you know, like to invest in more classic type things, but I absolutely love shoes and handbags and jewelry almost as much as I love watches.
And who were some of the people that you would like, who you felt growing up that really had like the best accessories, like knew how to kind of like style it all together?
I think when I was growing up, like I was very into like all those like it girls at the time, like when the OC was on and it was like Misha Martin and, you know, I just thought they were all fabulous. And the Balenciaga city bag was like all the rage I was like, you know, 18 years old. And that was like the thing that I died for. But, you know, social media has changed it too. Now I feel like I follow so many different people and get inspired really easily. And then always try to like go back to like who I am and what works for me too, because otherwise I do feel like you can end up impulsively buying something that you probably shouldn't. So I keep trying to like go back to like, how will I wear this? Is this really me? Is it something that I would wear for a long time? Especially as you're like spending more on more expensive things, you really want it to be like long lasting.
No, that's so true. Like when you said that, it made me think of like Sophia Richie Grange, I think they pronounced her name. Phenomenal. Just all that social media, like quiet look. She is the definition of quiet luxury. That's like a whole nother realm discussion I could go down on another day.
Yeah. I mean, ever obviously her wedding in the South,
really blew her up,
but she has amazing style and has put together so well. I love Morgan McGraw. I think she's
I love her. Always,
like,
yes.
Classic. Like, she really, I'm really obsessed with her style right now as well. So those are two people that I definitely follow. But yeah, I love to get ideas and then, you know, try to make it work for me.
And then like, as like time went on, like, how did you learn more about the business of like commerce and like fashion and stuff? Did you like study that or did you do internships? Like, how did you kind of start to learn more about the business side of it?
Yeah, I started out in finance and investment banking, which is definitely not like the fashion, retail, commerce type space. But I think it gave me a really good financial background of how businesses and companies work, how they make decisions, how they think strategically. And so that foundation is kind of what I took into entering Movado Group. So I left finance and went into Movado Group. I've been here almost 10 years and I've gotten a lot of exposure and experience across different parts of the business, which has helped me really learn. But all of my real like commerce and retail training has happened here. I've worked across merchandising for our fashion brands. I've worked in sales. I've worked obviously in e-commerce and digital marketing and now running a brand. And so I've had a lot of different experiences and a lot of different mentors here that have really gotten me to where I am in my career and prepared me for the role that I currently have.
And can you, for those who aren't familiar, can you give us like a little background on like Movado and like what your current role is?
Mm-hmm. So Movado Group is a watch company that owns brands and licenses brands. It was started by my grandfather, and my father is now the CEO and chairman. Movado as a brand, which Movado Group acquired, and it was actually originally called the North American Watchmakers, and they renamed themselves Movado Group when they went public. But Movado as a brand was started in 1881 in Switzerland. It's had many evolutions over its lifetime. The thing that I think today that people most know the brand for and what it's most iconic is the museum dial, which is the really pure, simple dial with a dot at the top. That dot at the top represents the sun at high noon. And so that's really what it was designed in 1947 by Nathan George Horowitz. The brand acquired the design and has really become what we've become iconic for. It was really modern and revolutionary then, and it remains really modern and iconic today. And so the Movado brand, which is a large watch brand, you know, distributed all across the United States as well as internationally, is the brand that I currently run at Movado Group. So everything from marketing to product to the P&L, really anything connected to the Movado brand, I oversee with an awesome team.
That is so good. And you brought up like, such a good point, like for the brand being like a legacy brand, like looking at it now to currently in 2024, what are some ways that you guys have like kind of kept it relevant and reaching like newer and younger, kind of just fresh, like as new buyers and new people came into the ecosystem?
I think of brands almost as like these living, breathing things. And I think you look at a lot of fashion brands over time and fashion, not meaning like necessarily trend, but like, you know, brands that have been around for a long time, they have to keep reinventing themselves, still staying true to their core values and who they are. But, you know, consumers change and generations change. And, you know, we've been thinking a lot about that, obviously, in the last few years. And in the past fall season, we did a lot of refresh around the brand. So we relaunched our logo. We redid all of our photography, our brand new fresh campaign that really, you know, brought the brand into a new light, but really based on all the foundation of actually what the brand has been since 1881. So our new logo is actually based on one of the original brand logos that was on our factories in Switzerland. Back in the early 1900s, you know, we brought a lot of like that sunlight in high noon, which is what's, you know, core to the design of the watch. We brought that into our imagery and our photography. We enforced the fact that we're a Swiss made brand, which we hadn't really talked a lot about, but obviously we have a rich Swiss history, which is really important in the watch category. So we repackaged it in a more compelling, modern, refreshed way, but it's all the things that Gate has always given Movado value to consumers and to our industry. So I think it's really about, you know, just figuring out how do you position yourself to continue to communicate in a brand true but relevant way. I think we have still have a lot to do. We have some really exciting things I can't quite talk about yet for fall, but you'll be the first to know.
Yes.
I'm really excited to just keep building on our past and, you know, getting even more excited into the future.
And I feel like one thing a lot of brands struggle with whenever they do a refresh, like you mentioned, is like kind of changing it in a way that doesn't upset like the consumers that have been with it for so long, but then also like kind of bring it into the current. So like, how did you guys find balance?
Yeah, I think it's something we thought a lot about. And I think that's why it's definitely an evolution, not a revolution, right? And we're not trying to make these major changes overnight, but take steps to where we want to be, you know, in the future. And I think a lot of it helps when you're playing on the real history and legacy that you have. I think also when it comes to how and where we spend our marketing dollars, right, we really look at a full, you know, 360 degree approach and making sure that we're supporting our retail partners, our own e-commerce business, but also, you know, making sure it's the right balance between traditional and digital media, right? Consumers, especially younger consumers are on TikTok or on, you know, Instagram, and we're making sure we're really active there, but we're also still printing ads in newspapers and in magazines and billboards. And so making sure we really are reaching consumers where they want to be reached.
And like whenever you guys are like looking at the start of campaign, like you just mentioned, like we're looking at TikTok and things like, mm-hmm. Is there like a deciding factor to be like, oh, for this launch, we really want to lean into magazine, or at this launch, I think we should really push out of home. Like kind of what's the like kind of first initial step when deciding like where to start with the marketing?
I think it depends on the goal of, our campaign. So like our fall campaign was really about the brand, and that's what we really wanted to reinforce who we are as a brand, because we felt like we hadn't told a brand story in a long time. And so that for us was really making sure all the touch points that I mentioned really were cohesive and consistent. That being said, then like if you look at what we'll be doing in the next few months, we're launching a couple of new really cool collections. So I'll just give you an example. We're launching this collection called Bold Quest. It's going to be launching in a couple of weeks. We're really excited about it. We feel like it is a product that is geared a little bit more towards younger consumers. So from that perspective, we're really, while it's going to fit within everything we do cohesively, we're making specific content and storytelling that we believe will perform best on platforms like TikTok, like, you know, Instagram. And then we'll make sure our dollars and our investments for that specific launch will be more on those platforms versus more brand or more elevated collection called Museum Classic. We're really focused on building content for television and for billboards. But it doesn't mean that they don't cross, right? Consumers are being touched by all of these different touch points. So we're still going to run collections in different places, but we do think about, okay, who's the target audience for this and how and where do we reach them best?
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hats because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And it, like, when it comes to platforms too, I know a lot of times brands are like, oh, like, we really want to lean more into TikTok. We really want to lean more to Instagram. And I feel like that debate's constantly changed between like videos and UGC and all that. Is there like a happy medium or formula that you guys can kind of, that you guys do that's like, okay, like we want to make sure we invest X amount into like TikTok or like this amount to Instagram? Like kind of, is there like a deciding factor between like the platforms, like when looking at a social strategy aspect?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is like testing and learning for us and understand, you know, seeing how different types of content, different products perform in these different channels and then leaning into the ones where they're performing the best. And it's really about performance, isn't necessarily about like sales. I mean, a lot of what we're doing is not about driving, you know, immediate sales, but around, you know, how interactive people are with that piece of content, right? The more engaged the consumer is, the more likely to complete it, the more likely we're reaching the right people in that platform. So we don't necessarily go in with saying, hey, we want to spend X here and X there. We usually like put a plan in place and then we're constantly iterating on it, especially on these digital platforms where you get such real-time feedback of what's working and what's not working.
Yeah, that is true. Like a lot, like it's so funny because I remember talking to like a few other brands and people are like, oh, they have such a good TikTok strategy. Oh, they're so good at Instagram. And so many of the times when I talk to them, they're like, oh, we just like see what sticks. Like there is no right or wrong. And I feel like that's the debate a lot of brands are trying to figure out, especially like the top of the year, like it is now. People are like, oh, like, should we be over here? Should we be over there? Like this brand did it and that worked. And it's like, you kind of just have to, everybody's audience is different. There is no like right or wrong. You kind of just have to see what sticks.
And the platforms have changed a lot. And like, you know, TikTok's still newer for us. We're still testing a lot there. But even, you know, when you talk about Meta and Instagram and Facebook, the type of, you know, it's a lot more of like a black box than it was when we all first started advertising on these platforms, and you're putting a little more reliance on their algorithms, their, you know, knowledge as you're putting ads in. So you kind of just have to test and see what picks up and what doesn't. And I think the biggest thing for brands today, and the thing that we're always focused on, is like, you need more content, right? You need more storytelling that you can get out there and figure out what works and what doesn't work for your consumers. And because things are so much more targeted. I mean, it used to be back in the day when you were only using like television and magazines. I'm like looking at a pile of them on my desk. Is you would just put out a campaign and that was it, right? That would run for 6 months and you never got the feedback, right? It was just out there and eventually sales would come in or they wouldn't. But you have this amazing opportunity to quickly learn what works and what doesn't work. And then you can really put that out there for consumers in a bigger way too. But you have to have a lot more content. And because also how much of content we consume, it fatigues much, much faster, right? Mm-hmm. You read a magazine in March, when you saw the next issue of that magazine in April, you don't remember that, you know, Fendi ran the same ad in March as they did in April. But now it's like, okay, I saw that Fendi ad 10 times in the last 2 weeks. That ad's no longer relevant to you. You're ready for the next thing.
And I feel like a lot of times whenever you're like working on these campaigns and stuff too, people are like, oh, like since we're trying to target like a younger woman in their 20s and 30s, like this is going to be the one that we use. Or like, this is going to be the type. Like, are you guys like using social listening, like going through the comments on like on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook to kind of see like what resonates with like younger demos, or is kind of like, how does that formulate to be like, okay, like this is what we can do better whenever we do this type of campaign wanting to reach this audience? Like, is that what you guys are doing? Like kind of social listening and really going through it that way?
Yeah, absolutely. We try to get all the feedback we can from every platform where we have ads, where we sell products, everything, so we can learn. I mean, that's the beauty of today. And it's not just around advertising, right? Or how we market. It's also around products. Like, consumers can so easily communicate with you with what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong from every aspect of your brand. And sometimes it's hard to hear, but it's also really great because you can quickly say, oh, this watch, there's an issue with it. Or this watch, you know, if it was in this color, we would do this much more. Or this is what the consumer's looking for from us. So I'm always looking at what people are commenting on ads, commenting on organic posts. And not just me, obviously, our whole team and technology that also aggregates a lot of this. But, you know, everywhere where we can get feedback, right, we want it, because that's how we get better as a company. And that's how we make our brand and our product better for consumers.
And then, like, also when looking at it, I'm trying to think of, like, brand-wise from my scope and stuff, when, like, planning the campaigns and things, like, far out. What are some, like, are there any, like, what are some ways, like, community-wise, whenever people are like, oh, we really want to talk to, whenever brands, like, we want to talk to real people, like, what are some ways that you're activating in person and kind of, like, getting that community, like, face-to-face where you're like, oh, this is, like, feedback we've gotten from activating with this or working with this partner and, like, people have shared? Like, what are some in-person things that you guys have done to really also get that feedback with, like, fellow consumers and spreading brand awareness and that initial...
So, I mean, I think there's always opportunity to do better in person with consumers and really connect with the people who are wearing your watches. We do, you know, surveys, and we've done, you know, in-person kind of focus groups and things like that to really directly hear from people, right? It's obviously a representation of your consumer base, but I think those have always been really helpful to hear, you know, what consumers actually think of the brand or the watches or what they're seeing. Because, you know, a lot of times you have people, we're internally, we're talking to each other. We're so close to the brand, right? Mm-hmm. We're so close to the day-to-day that it's really important to be able to take a step back and hear back from consumers of how they're thinking about it. And sometimes we might overthink something that doesn't matter to them, right? And then maybe we're not thinking enough about something that really they really do value. So I think making sure that we continue to do these focus groups, continue to do these brand surveys where we understand how people think about the brand, who's buying the brand, so we can keep making sure we're reaching those people and communicating in a way that they value.
Because I've noticed what a lot of brands are doing now is they're doing a lot of brands are moving away from like the big trips with like the influencers and the creators, and they're kind of moving to more of the like small dinners where they'll bring like media, like it's more curated on who they're bringing like the small groups in, where they can get that kind of feedback where like how something might be affecting the creator outlet or like
how the media might be sharing. They're like, oh, like you said, like this thing really didn't matter to us that much and stuff. So I think that's also really cool. And I feel like we're seeing that trend's going to not really be a trend, but something kind of permanent as like brands like grow and expand and want to know like, hey, like what's sticking with these different demos, like media creators and moms or parents, is like what's actually sticking with them by doing these like kind of curated in-person pop-up events or like more collaborations with various other brands and other like events and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the more you can hear from the people who are wearing your product or who, you know, talk about your product to other people like creators, the better you can service, you know, the people who, you know, want and desire your brand.
And for my last question, just for those who are like listening, they're like, oh, like I love like Movado Group and Movado and all these other like legacy brands. Like, what advice would you share to like other legacy brands to be like, hey, this is the way to kind of keep that balance of maintaining your true ethos and your true aura and also kind of like still changing and evolving and reaching newer consumers?
Yeah, I think that's something we've, as I mentioned earlier, like that we've really just started focusing on, I would say in the last like 18 to 24 months. And I think it's super important. I think it's about making sure you just ground yourself in the core values of your brand, but also look at what's happening in the world around you, and not being afraid to push it a little bit, take risks. And for us, I think one of the things we did to help us was we developed a brand book as part of this process of rethinking our codes, our elements, our logo, how we come to life. And so that brand book grounds us in the history and who we are as a brand, the values that we have. And then from there allowed us to develop all of these elements that will come to life physically for the brand for consumers. But I think the key and the thing that will allow legacy brands to stay true core to who they are is to make sure that in how you set a framework of who you are and what are the values you want to have for consumers. Because if you all agree on that and that is based on your legacy, you can evolve in all these different ways for the modern consumer, but still stay true to who you are. And so, and also when you codify that in a book, then everyone who works on the brand, whether it is your internal team, your, you know, agencies externally, you all are grounded in the same mindset. And that allows you to be consistent, to stay true to who you are, and to make sure that you execute across every touch point where consumers interact with the brand as best as possible.
No, and that's a good point. That's really cool because that is true. It's like as time goes on and you're like bringing in new people or working with new partners mm-hmm. and stuff, and they're like, and say like, I don't know if you're collabing with somebody new and they're like, oh, like, I don't really know where they stand on whatever, like what type of font they use or like what's their like main mission when using these types of materials. It's like you have mm-hmm. that thing right there. So it's whether you're training new people or whatever, like it's consistent. There's really no way to be confused about it.
Yeah. And I think as you evolve, it makes sure that you're still grounded in who you are, but that if you want to evolve, you need to have consistency because otherwise the consumer's like, who are you as a brand? What's your color? What's your logo? But even more like, what do you stand for? Mm-hmm. And so I think having that, and you know, we have this document and you can like have a summarized version of like 20 slides, but it's like 200. Oh my gosh. So it really shows you everything that really defines the brand and then how to make it come to life. So that if you're working on the brand, if you're new, it's really great when we're onboarding new people to the brand internally or externally, we're all on the same page. And we all know the do's and the don'ts for who we are.
I love that. And then just for like a fun one, now that we're talking about brand and maintaining, if you could pick like a cartoon character or another fictional character to like do a Movado collab with, who would you pick?
Oh my God, I think this might be the hardest question I've ever asked. I could pick like a cartoon character.
Or a fictional. So like it could be fictional, like a human, but a fictional character too. A
fictional character. Who would it be? Oh my God, you really made a stomach. If you asked me another question about the watch category, I would have. Let me think. It's funny because I immediately just start thinking about like, well, who is my favorite cartoon growing up? Which I don't think he necessarily fits with the brand because he was in the, I was thinking like of the Rugrats, like Tom.
Oh my gosh.
Rugrats,
right? Yes.
I don't think that's necessarily on brand. for us? I really don't know.
I feel like Blair Waldorf would be a good one. Blair and Serena. I would do a best friends collection.
Well, she definitely is super classy. It's funny. I immediately just got stuck in the cartoons and didn't think of the characters, like, in that sense. Yeah, Blair Waldorf, although I think that she, you know, might have gone, like, for something a little preppier than maybe Movado, or, like, a little, you know, she's very, very high end. But I would have loved for her to wear one. I don't know. Now I'm back to the OC. Like, Rachel Bilson have worn one on the OC?
Of course she would have.
Right? Like, I feel like, especially in, like, the last couple seasons.
Yeah. No, she would have. And I'm thinking also, like, the characters in This Is Us, like, I feel like they would definitely wear one. I could see that.
Yeah, I think some of the characters in This Is Us actually did. And what I will say is in Mad Men, they all wore vintage Movados.
Yes.
So, because that was, you know, I always think very, very cool. And some of my favorite watches in our vintage collection, they used for that show. So maybe that's the real answer is Mad Men.
Don Draper, we're looking at you. Step up to the plate.
So.
Oh, my gosh, I love this. Well, Margot, thank you so much for being here today and giving us all this watch content.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Wow, how great was this episode? If you were like me, you probably took a lot of notes and have a lot of questions and comments. So if you do, feel free to add us at Adweek across Twitter, Instagram, all the social medias. And we'd love to hear from you all. And feel free to give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. That always helps us. And we can't wait to hear from you all and see you in the next episode. So bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Young Influentials, part of the Adweek Podcast Network and Acast Creator Network. This podcast was produced by Al Manarino, executive produced by Chris Ahrens, and edited by Lane McGibney at Bountiful Studios. You can listen and subscribe to all Adweek's podcasts by visiting adweek.com/podcasts. Stay updated on all things Adweek Podcast Network by following us on Twitter at Adweek Podcast. And if you have a question or suggestion for the show, send us an email at podcast@adweek.com.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code Adweek, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.